There was a movie made about that. I'm Robin Welp, the East Lake, and this is a church for everyone, where we believe that God isn't looking for perfect people. So if you feel like a long shot, in this movie, it was called The Miracle. It told the story of this Olympic team in 1980 that went on to win the gold medal. At the outset of the story, Coach Herb Brooks is shown selecting the players for his team when he gives assistant coach Craig Patrick a list of names he has chosen. Patrick says in surprise, "You're missing some of the best players," to which Coach Brooks responds, "I'm not looking for the best players, Craig, just the right ones." And sometimes in life, we are the best at something. I mean, it's awesome. We make the best pie, or we have the best smile, or we have the best hair day. And I mean, sometimes we are the best, but sometimes we're not the best. And Jesus doesn't use best as a criteria to make something happen in our lives. It's not what he's shooting for. He feels like we're all the right one. So you're the right mom for your children. Sometimes it may not seem like it, but you are. You're the right mom. You're the right dad for your kids. You're the right son for your family, and regardless of your circumstances in your family, you are the right daughter for your father and your mother. And if you follow Jesus, you're the right Christ follower for someone else to watch. Because sometimes we like, don't watch me, because, you know, and just like, no, you're the right one, even when you feel like a long shot. And Jesus is famous for picking long shots. So today we're going to look at a story in the Bible about how he picks this long shot that nobody would have ever thought could have been the right one. So it's the big idea this weekend. The long shot gets a chance. And look at your notes. I'm going to read the whole story to you. Just grab your notes. Again, welcome to East Lake Church for everyone. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased when he'd gone to be at the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to the home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Zacchaeus has no right to expect anything from Jesus. It's number one in your notes. The unexpected does happen. Just write that in. The unexpected does happen. And then there's a little section down there again to review it. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down." And he looks up at Zacchaeus. And, you know, sometimes I forget that Jesus is watching me in life. I forget that he sees me. It doesn't seem like he's paying attention. You know, I forget that he sees all the bad stuff and all the good stuff. And sometimes I go through the week and I forget Jesus is watching. He sees me. He's looking at me. He sees everything that's going on. He sees everything that I'm going through. Jesus is looking at me. He hasn't taken his eyes off of me. He's noticing what's going on in my life. He saw your life this week. He saw my life this week. And he looks up at Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus doesn't have any right to expect anything from Jesus. And he's a crooked IRS guy. He collects taxes. And what he's been doing is been skimming off the top for years and years and years. He charges everybody too much taxes, and then he skims some off the top, and he puts it in his own pocket. And he's been doing this and doing this and doing this. And so he's gotten really, really, really super rich. But he finds out something that most of us will find out if we ever come into money or we know somebody with money, that there's many things that money can't buy. So you get lots of money and you finally get some money and you find out there's lots of things. Money can't buy forgiveness. It can't buy acceptance. You can't purchase a clean slate. You can't buy back a broken relationship. You can't spend lots of money and get the words back that you said that you wish you hadn't said, or the words that somebody said to you. And isn't it amazing when you think about it? When you think about it, how many limitations money really has? And yeah, we start out in kindergarten and all of school and all of training is so you can get a great job, so you can get some money. It's like the most important thing is get money. Man, and I chase money, and you chase money. We all chase money. But when you really think about it, it has so many limitations. And Zacchaeus, he finds that out. He says, I have tons and tons and tons and tons of money now, but there's all sorts of things that I want in life, that I need in life, and I can't get it with money. I can't buy it. I can't purchase it. I can't get that with money. And so he makes a move towards Jesus. And it's not a ginormous move. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's not like he does this big, big thing. It's not like Zacchaeus says, he doesn't make any promises. He doesn't change everything. He doesn't say, I'll go to church from now on. You know, that's not. He doesn't say, I'll change the way I'll dress. He doesn't say, I won't, you know, drink or smoke or chew or run around with girls that do. I won't do that. I'm not going to do that. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't make huge changes at all. He just really makes a small move towards Jesus. He climbs a tree. He does something a little kid could do, something a little boy would do. Just climbs a tree. I mean, he does have an obstacle. Can't see over the crowd, and we all have our obstacles. I don't know what yours is. Maybe there's something in your past that keeps you from turning towards God. You're like, oh, I got way too much baggage to turn towards God. I wouldn't want to see the look on Jesus' face if he saw me. If you turn towards God, you got a lot of baggage and lots of things in your past that you wish. Zacchaeus has a ginormous amount of baggage. But he's been stealing from everybody, innocent people, for a long, 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 long time. And it's interesting, even though he knows he has a lot of baggage, and don't we know? I mean, we try all different sorts of things to sort of make it seem like we're okay, but the truth is we all, at the end of the day, go, man, there's just a lot of stuff I wish could be different. And he doesn't try to change any of that. He doesn't try to rearrange his life at all. He just turns towards Jesus. He doesn't try to change anything. One of the reasons we started Eastlake here is so people would have a place that they thought that they would come, baggage and all, come just as you are. You don't have to clean anything up. You don't have to change anything. You can just come to church, because the church for a long time has had this message: change lots of things so God will like you and help you. We have a completely different way of looking at it. We say, turn to God and find out how much he loves you and you'll be able to change, is what he says. And so in this story, Zacchaeus, you know, he turns and Jesus stops and he says something to him. And the people in the story is interesting too, because the people in the story, they start to grumble about it. They're like, oh, he's a notorious sinner. I can't believe. I don't know if you've ever been a notorious sinner. I don't know if you've ever, like, you know, I've been notorious for things before and they weren't good things. I was a notorious sinner. And I don't know if there's anybody in your life that's a notorious sinner. Where I work at, they're hiring two new managers where I work, and so they've decided that of all the salespeople, they're going to hire two managers right out of the sales force there. And so I was listening to some people talk about it, and they said this one guy applied for the job, and I was like, that guy totally sucks. He's the worst guy. I can't believe nobody's going to pick that guy. I can't even believe he applied for it. That guy's the biggest jerk ever. Is it? I don't know if you're doing that to anyone. Like I do. And that's what they do to Zacchaeus. They think, who do you think you, Jesus isn't going to do anything for you. You're notorious for your sins. You've been ripping everybody off, living up in that big house, driving that big car. You got all that money. You took it, you stole it. You think, how dare you even think God would do anything for you? And then you didn't even do anything to earn it. You didn't get down and kiss his feet. You didn't cut your hair. You still got a cigarette dangling from your mouth. And you think God is going to do something for you? And of course, there's the secret that somehow Zacchaeus knew. Maybe he thought, you know what? I can scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and clean myself up, and I still won't be clean enough to meet Jesus. I might as well just show up just like I am and see what he does. And it works. And the amazing thing is, and here's the principle, Zacchaeus, he's just hoping he gets to see God. Have you ever been there? Or you've been so out there and you're just thinking, God, if I could just catch a glimpse, if I could just have just a moment to know he's real and he's in my life, just something, anything, God. He's just hoping he could just just see Jesus for a moment. And here's the principle. When you turn towards Jesus, he'll come so much closer to you than you would ever have expected. He's thinking, if I could just see Jesus. And Jesus stops and says, oh, I'm going to be way closer to you than that. I care way more than that. I'm actually going to go to your house today and be with you. So if you're wondering, if you turn towards Jesus, how close will he come? He'll come very, very, very close, as he does with Zacchaeus. Now, right in your notes, the second thing is the impossible is possible. There's a story I wanted to weave in here about Jesus that kind of matches all of this. You know, he was a really good public speaker. So in that day, of course, no TV, no radio, no iPhones, and there was nothing. So, I mean, when someone was a great public speaker, they could attract these huge crowds. And Jesus was a great storyteller. He was funny. He hung out at parties. Jesus was the type of person that when he would go somewhere, he just had that with the, people would just come around him and want to be with him. And so he started to become quite famous, and word would get around. And he kind of went on a tour. If you sort of think about how, musicians go on a little bit of a tour, Jesus went from all these different villages and cities where he lived, and he gets to this one place, and everybody knows that he's coming, and so people start to flock there, and they get there before he arrives, and Jesus would be out in the open, and he would tell people these stories, and mostly he just had one message. It was a very, very simple message, and it's amazing that for over 2,000 years it's made this impact. Jesus' message was this, is that God accepts you and loves you and wants the best for you. And he said it in 1,000 different ways with all kinds of different stories. God accepts you and loves you and wants the best for you. God accepts you and loves you and wants the best for you. And so all these people were in this one location. There was like 10,000 of them, 5,000 men and all their families. And Jesus is telling them all these stories. And they're just taking it in, because most of them had been in church most of their life, and they left church because they never got to hear that God accepts me and loves me and wants the best for me. And I'm sure that the church meant to say that, but it never did. So they stopped going. Where we live in our community, 60% of the people in this whole area here don't go to church at all on Sundays. Any church of any kind. Got to be a reason for that. Next week, we're sending out a mailer to invite a bunch of people to church, just hoping maybe somehow that somebody would say, well, maybe I'll try. Because most of them aren't going at all, because they would think a place like this would not in any way cause them to believe that God accepts you, loves you, and wants the best for you. Jesus is on this tour. All these people come, and they stay overnight. They camp, and they listen to him the next day, and they stay overnight. And 3 days go by, and they run out of food. I don't know if you've ever been camping, but you run out of food. That's the worst, And so nobody has any food, and Jesus is looking at him, and he makes a very interesting statement. Listen to this now. He makes an interesting statement. He looks out on all these people. He's probably up in a higher place like this, and he says, they look like sheep without a shepherd. And here's what he meant. They're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. When's the last time you felt like that? Who's going to pay these bills? Who's going to help these kids with this homework? Who's going to get me through school? How am I going to get that promotion? How am I going to get the quota at work? I hate my boss. My mother-in-law is driving me crazy. Whatever. I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. And he looks at them all, and that's what he says. It looks like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. And besides that, they're hungry. He grabs his guys, his little team together, he says, we got to order some pizza or something. I mean, these guys are starving. We got to do something for them. And they said, we can't do that. There's too many of them to feed. And Jesus says this to him. This is like the little turn in the story. He says, well, you go ahead and you feed them. I don't know if Jesus has ever said anything to you that felt like you're asking me to do something impossible, God. When I was 21 years old, I caught a job at a company. For the first time in my life, I was going to go from blue collar to white collar. I'd always been a laborer. And I caught a job as a cold caller for a photocopier company. And so I didn't have very much money. I could afford to buy one shirt. I had a nasty, stinky little tie and an old blazer that looked terrible on me. And I borrowed, you know, a pair of shoes from a kid, and I got a job, and I was a cold caller. Now, cold caller, here's what you do for a cold caller. I would go to downtown into the business area, and I would go to every single business, and I would go in, and I would ask them if they wanted to buy a photocopier. And when you asked 100 businesses if they wanted to buy a photocopier, 99 said, no, get out. So really what I got a job was being rejected. And in this job, here's the other thing about this job. I was kind of a late bloomer in life when I grew up. So most people get pimples and skin problems like when they're 14, 15. I was perfect then, but boy, they sprung up when I was 21. So I'm 21 years old. My face looks like someone's trying to put out a fire with a golf shoe. I got a lousy, stinky thing on. I'm going around and rejected all day long. And I thought, this is what everybody's trying to be? I think digging ditches would be better than this. And I'm working at this company, and it becomes obvious that I'm not a shining star. It's like I'm not the golden boy. The owner of the company one day comes to me and says, you know, this afternoon I want you to swing by my office, and we have to have a talk. If you ever had one of those at work, and you know they're not calling you in for a promotion or to sing your praises, you know. Oh man, I don't know if I'm going to keep my job. What's going to happen? And as the day went on, I was, you know, of course, scared. I'm going to go in to get my job. And this is what the Lord said to me. When you go in to talk to him today, I want you to tell him about your relationship with me. And I'm like, Lord, come on, that's impossible. It's inappropriate. It's politically incorrect. I mean, Jesus, you don't talk about you at work. And have you noticed, Lord, they're not really thrilled about me anyways here, and I have bills to pay, God. Come on, give me a break. That can't be you. This is like a hallucinogenic from my drug days. This can't be God. You know, it's like, no way. And it's like, I want you to talk to him about your relationship with me. I'm like, Jesus, come on. You're asking me to do something that's impossible. And here's the thing I said, and maybe you've said it too. I can't do it. And the Lord said, I know. That's why we're going to do it together. That was a big moment for me. It's a huge moment. Look in this story. Philip says to one of them, Philip answered him, it would take nearly a year's wages to buy enough food for them, even if one was to get only a little. I don't know if you've ever reached a place where it seemed impossible, and then you said, what difference does it make anyways? I'm not going to call them, God, because they're going to tell me the same thing they told me last time. They're not going to forgive me. What would it bother, God? I'm going to go out to work today, and it's going to be the same crappy group of stuff that I had yesterday. I'm not going to try to spend time with my kids today because I know my ex-wife is just going to slide. Whatever it is, like it's something impossible, and then one of the things you tell yourself is, why even bother? Because it's not going to make a difference anyways. That's where I was at with this owner of this company. Then look at the next little part there. One of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, talked to Jesus. He said, a boy here has 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, but what can that little bit of food do for so many people? Boy, that's how I felt that day. I felt like I was like a little piece of bread and fish. And I went into the, I went into his office and I sat there. It was just like I thought. He started talking to me about, you know, you have to buy new clothes and you have to have that positive personality and hold your head up high and, you know, it's time to grow up. And he just starts talking to me. And I'm sitting there, I can feel Jesus saying, it's time to change the subject. And I said to him, I said, Carrie, do you know Jesus? And I don't know, like I tried not to flinch on the outside, but the inside I was like, Carrie, do you know Jesus? And on the inside you're just like, oh man, here it comes. And he stopped, he said, why do you ask that? And I took a big risk. I said, well, when you asked me to come in today, I'm a Christ follower, and I think Jesus wanted me to tell you about my relationship with him. And he amazed me. He said, okay, tell me about it. I said, well, I came from a really screwed up home. You know, my background was very, very rough. My mom died, and I got mixed up in drugs and alcohol, and it was a very bumpy ride for me, and I tried to turn to God, and I didn't know how to turn to God, and at some point, someone told me about Jesus, and they said something I didn't expect. They said that he would just accept me and take me in and be patient with me, and so I decided to give it a try, and I didn't think it would work. I didn't think it would work. I thought, no, I'll give it a try, and tried everything else, and it did work. And I don't know how it did. I used to be afraid all the time, and now I'm not, and I'm not even afraid if today is my last day at your company, because I know Jesus is with me. He's going to take care of me. He's got a big plan for my life. And he's listening, and you can just see his eyes start to change. And what we talked about is that he'd had a life like that too as he grew up. But he was completely on the other side. He had a Rolls Royce parked out in the parking lot, trophy wife, great kids, ginormous house, and a hole about this big inside of his soul. Nothing was filling it. And we sat there for probably an hour. Carrie ended up coming to church. Now listen, when Jesus said, talk to him, I was like, that's impossible. Come on, Lord. Now look what happens in the story. Then Jesus took the bread and thanked God for it. He gave it to the disciples, and they divided it among those who were sitting. He did the same with the fish. The people had all they wanted. When they'd eaten enough, he said to his disciples, gather up all the pieces that are left so nothing will be lost. And that's the whole story right there. It may seem like it's impossible, but Jesus doesn't want it to get lost. And you notice there's kind of a way that he does this. And so if something is in your life right now, because let's just admit something. There's long shots in life. There's the things you look at and you go, oh, this is such a long shot. But in the back of your mind, there's a little tiny hope back there that's thinking, well, you never know. You never know. I could be Miss America. You never know. You never know. They might pick me, you know. It's just, and then there's those times that you're just like, forget it. Not even. They will never, ever reconcile with me. We're never going to be a family again. I will never be able to really actually get that job, degree or not. There is no possible way I'll be able to get out of this debt. We all live there. And it's not a long shot. Wish it was. It's like we're just like resigned. Resignation. It's going to be like this. I might as well get used to it. It's impossible. And that's, I'm sure, where they were. I mean, can you imagine being the guy that rounds up five loaves of bread and a couple little fish, and he comes up to Jesus, and he looks at the bread and the fish, and he looks out at the crowd, and he looks at this, and he looks at this, and he looks at this. And, of course, that's the problem right there. I don't know if that's ever occurred to you, is like you see what you have, and you see how far it has to go, and you just kind of find yourself doing this. This is how much I got. That's what has to happen. This is how much I got. This is what has to happen. I can tell them I'm sorry and forgive me. They hate my guts. They already told me they'll never, ever, ever, ever let me back into their life. And you just kind of go like this. And it's almost like at some point, Jesus must have stopped him and just sort of said, look at me. I mean, I know if you look at the bread and the fish, no chance. If you look at the crowd, you're like, dang. But if you will stop and look at me, just give it to me. What seems impossible in your life? And you know you want it. Please don't go all the way saying, whatever, who cares? It's never, I'll be fine without it. Don't. Because it's not your heritage and you don't have to. What seems impossible? And would you be willing to give it to Jesus, even if it's two stinky fish and some bread? Because if you will, the impossible becomes possible. And there's a way that it occurs. There's three things, and just jot these somewhere in your notes. Give Jesus something to work with. Say a prayer of thanks, and get started. If you're looking for a formula, for those of you that are linear and logic, you're like, give me three steps to make this occur. There they are, right there. Give Jesus something to work with. Say a prayer of thanks and get started. It could be anything to work with. You could jot a note to someone that hates you. You could send somebody some cookies. You could go online if you're trying to you know, learn something in school and take a course. I mean, do anything. Just give him something to work with. Say a prayer of thanks and get started. Now, here's the problem when it comes to me and Jesus in my life. It's like I decided a long time ago that we're both in the car and we decide where we're going to go. And, you know, I'm okay with him driving because, you know, Jesus, like, he's a better driver than me. And so, like, okay, well, here we go. We're going to go together. And I'm sitting here and Jesus is there and, you know, he's driving and he's driving along and I'm sitting here and everything seems fine. And then I look up ahead to the road a little bit and I'm like, whoa, Lord, it's starting to kind of be a swervy road up there. Lord, have you got that? Lord, I mean, it's kind of swervy up there, Lord. Then pretty soon I'm kind of driving like this. Me and Jesus are driving together. And then I'm driving like this. And then I see a hill coming. I'm like, Lord, you don't seem like you're going that fast. Don't you think we ought to put a little gas on it, Lord? And then I'm like that, and I'm driving like this. And, you know, and next thing you know, I'm crowding him like this. I'm saying, you know, maybe I ought to, and, you know, and all of a sudden I'm just, and I got the wheel now. And I am a sheep without a shepherd. I have the weight of my world on my shoulders. Until I'm willing to say, Lord, I'll give you what I got. I thank you for what you've given me. And I did want to ask, is there anything going on in your life right now that's a pain in the butt? And it might be good to be thankful for it. Here's a tip with kids, and this is a great thing to do with children because they're like getting a hug, an emotional hug all the time, but also they can be rough. And, you know, you got your kids, and one of the best things to do with your children when it starts to get crazy is just to stop and just say, I am so grateful. I am so thankful. When they are driving you out of your mind and you just are certain, they should be certifiably committed. When I was a kid, this is how much of a stinker I was. In my home, I grew up with my grandparents, and my grandpa's rule was after you went to the bathroom, you had to wash your hands. I don't know what he was thinking. But anyways, every time you went to the bathroom, you had to wash your hands. And I was such a rebellious kid when I was growing up. It's like I didn't like the feeling of the water or whatever. And so and he would stand by the door and listen. Well, I figured it out. I would just go to the bathroom, and then I would just go run the water, turn it off, and I'd come out, and he thought I had washed my hands. And I thought back on that. I thought, isn't that how we are? Such little stinkers. Your kids will be stinkers, and whatever it is, if you'll just stop from time to time and say, God, I am so grateful for these kids. Thank you for choosing them for me. Thank you for letting me be their parents. And then just get started in whatever has to do. Grab a belt or a stick or a shovel or something, and off you go. The last thing, the bottom line, the unchangeable can change. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people of their taxes. And isn't that interesting? He said, if I have cheated. I want to tell you something. We believe at East Lake Church in process. Zacchaeus knows he's cheated a lot of people. So I don't know if you've ever talked to God like that before. It's like, you know, and if I've sinned at all at work today, God, you know, you swore up a storm, and, you know, it's just, God, just in case I sin today at work, I might have. You know, it's like, I can't believe Zacchaeus. He's like, if I did anything, God, he's processing still. If I did anything, I'll give them back four times as much. Now listen, in the American church says make lots of changes and then God will help you. Here's the message that Jesus had. God will help you and then you'll be able to make lots of changes. Do you notice that Jesus in the whole story, he never requires or requests or demands anything of Zacchaeus at all? This all happens as a genuine response. Somehow it got backwards. We have to do something for God, and God will do something for us. Here's the real story. Please catch this. God does something for us, and then it makes me want to do something for him. It's responsive. Zacchaeus doesn't have his arm up around his back saying, okay, God, I promise, I'll do it. He spends some time with Jesus and he says, I don't want to be like this anymore. And now that I've met you, I think maybe things could be different for me. Here's where I'm headed, Jesus. If you can keep your eyes on him. There's a story about a woman, her name is Florence Chadwick. And she was a famous swimmer, and she was gonna swim across the English Channel. She wanted to be the first woman to ever do it. And the first time she did it, she failed. So she takes off, and she swam for 15 hours. 15 hours, and she swims 15 hours. And one half hour before she got to the other side, she stopped and started screaming, pull me in the boat, pull me in the boat, pull me in the boat. The fog had come down, and it had gotten really super, super foggy, and she was just swimming in the fog for hours, and at some point, she just literally panicked. Pull me in the boat! Nobody could make her stop, and so they pulled her into the boat. She was only a half hour away. She was like, and here's what she said. This was interesting. Later that day, a reporter asked her why she'd failed in her bid to swim the channel. She reportedly replied, it was the fog. Look, I'm not trying to excuse myself. But if I could have seen the land, I know I could have made it. Isn't that how life is? It's a fog. We lose track of Jesus, we can't see him. And we don't make it. And we're supposed to. We're supposed to. You are a long shot. I'm a long shot. We're all a long shot, but we're the right long shot. For the right one. And so I want to give you just a moment to think about that to process for a moment and to think about what is it in your life that you really want to see occur? What is it in your life that, seems like a long shot? And don't we know? And please don't, just go there today. What's it going to hurt? Don't. Well, not that. Just don't. Just go there and just say, this is what I really want to happen. If I can make a wish, this is my wish. Long shot or not, this is what I want to see happen. And then as you do, Lord Jesus, as we do, would you please show up in our story like you showed up in Zacchaeus' story? Lord, we're not going to bring anything before you today. We're not going to try to present anything to you. We're not going to explain anything to you. We're not, none of that. We know we can't. We're just going to stop for a moment right here in West Valley, and we're going to recognize the thing that we so desperately want, and it's a long shot, or maybe some in this room have already titled it impossible. It's impossible. Never can change. And Lord, would you do for us today, because you're alive, what you did for Zacchaeus so long ago? Whatever we need. Just take a moment with Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, please come and get the world that rests on my shoulders. And for all my friends here today, all that rests on their shoulders, all the long shots and the impossibilities, things that seem like it cannot change. And maybe some, Lord, have tried before and nothing occurred. Would you create the grace in her heart to turn towards you? And then would you rush in a way that would be so unexpected that it would change everything about us? Lord, I really pray as we look towards our future that maybe we wouldn't say it out loud like Zacchaeus. This is what my future is going to be like. But I'm asking, and I really do pray that in our hearts today we would say something. Somehow, because of what's occurred, we would say something in our hearts. This is what my future is going to be like now. This is what my life is going to be like now. This is what's going to happen with me. Because I've been with him. I have been with him. Jesus Christ. We look to you, Lord. Amen.